effort at the tone. Leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
Hey, Jim. It's Tall Toad. I know we hired you to find our missing equipment, but as it turns out, Tony left it in the van and didn't bother to tell us.
Hey, tell him that we didn't get paid.
Oh, yeah. So we didn't get paid from our last gig, but Angel said it would probably be okay if we paid you off over the next few months. Sorry.
So I was wondering if you ever rode in Todd's Trans Am.
I don't think so. I don't see. Oh.
Damn it.
Headphone issue. I want to say yes, but I don't remember. Yeah. I've ridden it with him many times before.
You might have wiped it from your memory if you did. I only remember riding in it twice, and both times I feared for my life. But the first time, I think it was the first time, he wanted to go to Fallout. Remember Fallout Records?
Oh, yeah.
And tapes up in Seattle. I forget what district that was in, but like the Central District, I want to say. I don't know.
Yeah.
I lived in Yelm. But he wanted to go to Fallout Records and tapes, which was like the cool record store back then. And asked me if I wanted to go. And so I said, sure. And so he picked me up in the Trans Am.
Aye.
And that first, it did not have seat belts, to my knowledge, although we didn't really wear seat belts anyway. But
it's like the van. Road toad.
Yeah. What? We don't need seat belts. And we'll talk about a time when we weren't wearing seat belts,
yes.
Too. But so Todd picked me up. So this is in Yelm. Going from Yelm to Seattle, I swear.
That's a long
drive. I swear, though, from Yelm to Seattle took us about 35 minutes. The way he was going, easily like 100 plus if he could, and no seatbelts.
Todd.
Yeah, it was insane. The good thing about that one, though, was that was the first time I heard Mojo Nixon. He had the... Get Out of My Way EP.
Oh, yeah.
On cassette. So
hey.
Yeah.
Get out of my way.
Probably, because he probably used that as like driving fuel. You know?
Get out of my way,
because that's how he was driving.
Oh, yeah.
It was insane. It was not 35 minutes, but man, 40. I mean, he was cruising. And no seatbelts. It was hairy.
Yeah, when he had that fucking geo tracker,
yeah,
or whatever thing. He would still like do like 80, 90 miles an
hour.
That's
even scarier because those are little wobbly boxes.
Yeah.
At least the Trans Am had like a low center of gravity. You could pretend like Smokey was.
I was just
going to
say, you just want to grab the little CB and be like, you know.
I think he had a CB too. I swear he had a CB in that thing. But the second time was just. He offered me a ride home from school, and I hated riding the bus. And this was before I had a car, and I guess I don't know where Dan was. So I said, okay. And that was back when the road we lived on, when we first moved out there, was just a gravel road. Mm. And then eventually the city paved half of it.
Yeah.
Like the half my parents lived on. But the other half was still loose gravel. And that was the side of the road. We were coming up Vail. And he hit 138th, and he hit that gravel and sped up to like 90. And we were just fishtailing in that gravel. And again, no seatbelts. And he's just like got that Todd look on his face. And I'm just clutching whatever I can. I'm like, I'm going to fucking die. Gonna die.
This is it. This time is going to happen.
It was crazy. But, you know, I didn't die. So
good.
Shout out to Todd and his crazy driving. Yeah. And we could talk about his monster truck sometime too, because taking that monster truck up to Fossil Rock.
Oh. Yeah, he had some crazy ass vehicles.
Anyway.
And then he got all adult and bought like what, a white pickup truck.
Yeah, I think he's
drove fairly normal.
A sensible now he's a sensible driver.
Yeah, because I'm sorry, Todd, if you actually listen to this, but you were not always a sensible driver.
Is that punk rock? He had to drive like the music he listened to.
That's right.
So
short and fast.
Exactly. Anyway, hey, welcome to the new episode of Feedback and Forth. And
woo!
As usual, I'm still Scott.
And I'm now Mike.
Hey, and he used to be
Miguel.
Which was harder to say, so yes. We just say Mike.
And I think only like two people will actually get that.
Okay. Hopefully they listen.
Probably not.
That's the way of our history, which is what this podcast is all about, in case you're just joining us. Mike and I were in a band called Tall Toad back in the 90s. We're from a small town called Yelm in Washington State, so we went through the whole crazy Seattle music explosion, and that's kind of what our podcast is about, talking about making music back in that day, working hard and not getting as far as we wanted. And
I guess you could say that we were also at we helped start the Yelm music explosion.
Oh yeah, definitely. We were at the forefront of the big Yelm explosion for sure.
All of what, I mean, 8 or 9 bands
at least. At least. And hey, there's new ones not every day, but
no.
I know of at least one. So
is that was it Cody Lenz?
Yes. of the infamous Lenz family.
Yes.
His band's called Face the Sun. They're good. Check them out. Cody, son of our friend Rick, brother of our friend Ron.
Yes, and Rick was in
Cardiac Arrest. So see, big burgeoning Yelm music scene. And anyway, that's kind of what we're talking about. And if you've been following us, we've been on a kind of upward trajectory toward the beginning of our band, but just covering our misspent youth and high school years and forming our very first band, which didn't really get out of the woodshed.
No, literal.
Yeah,
woodshed.
Literally a woodshed. Except for once.
Yes.
Which we talked about, so go listen to that episode.
And it was standing room only. Only because I don't think there was any place to sit. So
it was a bare living room, so you can sit on the floor, I guess, if you wanted to. So that band is called Trepan, and we're still sort of in that area. We don't really plan these too well, but it's just sort of been heading in this direction. So I think today we're probably gonna stick around that time, and
but we might hit on a whole bunch of subjects.
That's true.
You never know with us.
No, we don't even know. So,
in fact, this might be it. Hey, thanks for listening.
That's right. I just wanted to recap, and now you can get on with your day. Wait, I thought of something. I'm actually not sure where we left off. I know the last episode we were talking about the Melvins and discovering the Melvins, so this might be, and probably is, actually going backwards a little bit, but part of what helped us be who we are was, I mean, clearly the music, which was always there. We were always listening to music. And then once you and I and Dan started the band, not that I had much else going on before that, but it was definitely, that was my focus in my life. Like, I didn't really hang out with anybody except you guys and Fred, Dan's older brother. Again, previous episodes. and there's more of Fred. But So we were hanging out a lot once we were like a band.
Yeah.
And I don't know, because I know you had friends previously. So I don't know if you were like...
Sorry, the band was the end of it.
Well, I was wondering because, like I said, I didn't really have that many. I wasn't really hanging out with anybody else. But all of a sudden, I'm like just constantly like it was either the three of us or just you and me or just me and Dan or sometimes me and Fred or whatever, you know. So I don't know if that was a change for you.
Yeah, because once I started hanging out with you guys, I didn't really hang out with anybody.
Okay. See, I always pictured you as being more social for some reason than the rest of us. We did not imbibe anything.
No.
How dare you accuse
just
me?
Just clean air.
That's right. Anyway, enunciating. Yeah, I don't know why I think that, but maybe because... I don't know. I always just thought of you as cooler than us somehow. Or not. Oh. I shouldn't say us. Me, I guess.
Little did you know. Yeah, no, it's weird. Yeah, because I used to hang out with Shane Anderson.
Right.
Also see previous episodes.
Yes.
And his brother Marty. Sometimes Kenny Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of other people I can't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, as soon as I started playing in an actual band.
Right.
There was that Lee Messer guy.
Oh, yes.
I didn't really hang out with anybody else.
Okay.
All right. Usually just going and hang out with you guys and...
Well...
Drink fortified water and...
Yeah. Yeah, we really... Seemed like we got really tight really fast. And obviously most of the time we were going over to Dan's because that's where the practice space was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was through Dan. Actually, it was through Shane, since you bring up Shane.
Anderson.
I think Shane told Dan about Fossil Rock.
Oh, yes.
And Dan told me. And it was one of the mornings where we would show up to school. And as we mentioned before, we all had our lockers kind of in the same spot. So we'd all be at our lockers. And it was one of those mornings where I get there and either Dan shows up or he's there. And then I show up and we look at each other and he goes, do you want to be here today? And, you know, of course, no.
Yeah.
And then Dan had a car and then we'd split somewhere. So it was like that, which happened a lot once I was a senior for sure. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember if this was junior year or senior year. I don't remember the first time we went up there, but we got Shane and Dan and me and
probably Fred.
Maybe we picked up Fred, but we left from school. Mm. I remember we left in the morning from school and they're like, oh, we're going to go up to this cool place out in the woods. There's like caves and a lake and waterfalls and stuff like that. And that was the first time I remember going up there. But I think we went to Lily Pad Lake and we didn't get up to Fossil Rock proper until later. Like we didn't find out about that. I think Shane only knew about the other spot or something. I remember exactly, but anyway, the reason I bring that up is because where we grew up in Yelm is pretty rural, very rural.
Yeah, way more than it is now.
Yeah.
It's really crazy.
Now it's a small town, you know, but when we lived there was like nothing there. And we were surrounded by woods and... spent a lot of time in the woods, but this place called Fossil Rock was a little bit legendary, it turns out, and like pre us, probably in the 70s, people would go up there. And basically, it was a really cool place on Weyerhaeuser land, which is a big timber company here. So there's gates and logging roads and stuff out there.
Yeah.
But back then, they allowed you to hike. It was like, cool to go in there and.
Yeah, you just had to look out for like logging trucks if you're going during the week, because usually at the weekend they didn't do anything.
Yeah, so yeah, and they definitely get the right away.
Yes,
and but yeah, I know people would like take horses up there and ride and
dirt bikes.
And, yeah, shoot, take your guns out there. There's like somebody like homemade shooting ranges and stuff out there. I mean, you just didn't think. I remember being out there by myself one time and two guys coming down the trail the other direction and both got guns, you know, and didn't think anything of it. Didn't think like, oh, shit.
Right.
They're going to kill me. Like, oh, they're just out here shooting. But anyway, the reason I bring that up is because the thing we did the most besides playing music was take breaks from playing music and go up to Fossil Rock.
Yeah.
And a lot of crazy stuff happened up there. And I feel like it was part of our development as much as the music and stuff, because we really, I don't know, we got super close, I think, all of us, just by these weird excursions we would take.
Well, yeah, it's like I remember a lot of times going up there. I mean, we went up there, you know, a lot during the day.
Yeah.
You know, usually just, you know, smoke out and then go climb around in the caves for hours.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times we went there at night.
Yes.
I remember we'd bring like a case of beer or something. Mm-hmm. And what we, this, well, I don't want to say, you know, it's something that Fred invented, but it's cheese for popcorn. You know, it's just basically just popcorn with a bunch of the cheese powder all over it.
Right. Shaking up.
But we take that, you know, that was our food for the evening.
Yeah, that was our nourishment. Big bag, literally like a bag, like a grocery bag
full of
cheese for popcorn.
You could go, you know, it's like you drive up. It's like getting up there is like a long, gravel road, winding. And then at some point, I don't know where it went if you kept going straight, but.
I think the other end is like in Eatonville or somewhere. I looked at it on a map one time that had logging roads.
That would make sense. Wow.
Yeah, you could go all the way to Eatonville on that thing. No one that doesn't live in Washington knows what we're talking about.
Exactly.
It's a long ways, trust me.
But yeah, it's like you go past the entrance to Lily Pad Lake.
Yeah.
And you drive for some more, and then you come to like this road that kind of goes off, and it looks kind of rough because it is kind of rough.
It's very rough.
It's like really bumpy, and you have to kind of navigate over some ruts.
Yeah, and we're going up there in a Chevette.
Yeah,
too. So
yeah, a little diesel four-door Chevette. But you could get up to like a landing.
Yeah,
and if you park up there, you can look out over the valley all the way. You can see like the lights of, well, I don't know, was that Yelm or Olympia?
I think you could see as far as Olympia. To the south and Tacoma to the north. Yeah.
But yeah, we set up there.
And the mountain, the Mount Rainier is just like right there. Boom.
But yeah, it's like you could just sit there and look out. Or you could go back a little further and park and then climb.
Yeah.
Like it was kind of a little long walk just to get up to the top of Fossil Rock.
Right. Which was really cool. And that road, that's the road I'm talking about when I mentioned Todd's monster truck, because that first part that's almost straight vertical, but it's wheel ruts, so I know that used to be a road somehow, but Todd decided he was going to drive up it that one day, and for some reason I was passenger seat in that monster truck, and he did it. He went up, and we, you know, we went up like that. Can't see what I'm doing. But basically, you know, the windshield went from, there's the road, there's some trees. Oh, now we're going up a hill. Oh, now I just see sky. And I feel like we're going all the way back, but we didn't. He did it. He made it up. And that's the only time I ever did that. But yeah, mostly we'd have to, you'd hike up that. And then that road went way up there. And then you had to climb.
Yeah, then you get to the actual hill that you got to.
Right.
Last part of the navigation.
Literally climb on, like tree to tree, like these little trees growing out. And you had to almost like Spider-Man.
Yeah, there wasn't very many. So you'd have to like climb up to one and you'd be like, okay, look over and be like, okay, I got to get to that tree on the other side of the path.
Right.
So you got to kind of walk on the I guess the corner edges of your shoes to kind of Get everything. You know, and when you're carrying like a bag full of popcorn or
a
like,
case
you know,
of beer.
Yeah, a case of beer.
And you know, various other sundries that we needed to have with us. When
not
we,
quite bong. But
yeah. Pipe-ish yeah. thing.
It's another thing we could talk about.
Yeah. That, Fred's artwork.
Goddamn. Man.
But yeah, we would carry all that up there. But we spent a lot of time up at that place. And
because, you know, it's like we climbed to the top. We'd hang out, drink.
Yeah.
But, you know, you might sit with somebody else and just kind of. Mm-hmm. You know, as you're stoned and kind of drunk, you know, it's right. like that talk.
Yeah. Oh, had so many of those talk, like the serious talk. But also we talked about band.
Yeah.
We, you know, we planned a lot of band stuff up there. That's why I Watching think this is all connected. The bats. Yeah. Flicking lighters
yeah.
at night for bats. And the, man, this it's kind of a can of worms. Maybe I shouldn't have let off with this topic. There's so many fossil rock things. I'll just mention a couple, and then if you have any other one ties in though with something else that I think we should talk about, so I'll save that one. But I do remember maybe the most memorable night was prom night. And see if you remember this. So none of us went to prom. I was going to.
And it was the three of us.
It
right?
was the three of us.
Okay, I think I know what you're
saying. So we went, we decided, first we got wasted, and yeah. then we decided we were going to go to the prom.
Oh, right.
To cause trouble. Mm. Because we were kind of at war with some people at the time, and probably just surly and
yeah.
bitter and whatever.
Because none of us had dates.
None of us had dates. I had one for a minute, and then she broke up with me about a week before. That was that. But I didn't want to go really anyway. But anyway, so yeah, we went there, and they were holding the prom at Lake Lawrence.
Oh, where right.
That
wasn't at the high school. It was
actually,
it was off campus.
It was a big deal. So it was at a lake outside of town, but kind of on the way to Fossil Rock, which we're talking about. But I remember going there, and we were going to, I'm not going to say what we were going to do, but we were going to cause some havoc.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we got there, there were like cops in the parking lot. And so we decided we're just go to Fossil
Rock.
This
isn't worth it. Fuck
yeah.
This. We don't need this shit.
Let's go to Fossil Rock. So I remember we went to Fossil Rock, and it was a night we climbed to the top. I may be wrong, so if I'm wrong, you can correct me. But I think that was the night we were sitting at the top, and from the top, you could look down on that plateau that you were talking about.
And it was that night.
Okay.
Because
so
we
saw
moved.
Fire. Right. Yes, that's
but.
Right. And yeah, so now we're at the very top, and we're looking down, and on the plateau, you could see there was a fire, and you could kind of hear that there were people down there. And I don't remember who started yelling first, but
I want to say Dan.
Probably. So there was some yelling going on, and then but then the yelling coming back did not sound like our yelling. And
it was this guy that kind of talked like this, mate. You know,
I That's forgot terrible.
That he had an accent.
Yeah, and he was Alligator Bob.
That's right.
Because we're like, who are you? And he's like, oh, I'm Alligator Bob. Who are you?
Yeah, and that was kind of weird because I remember he was Alligator Bob. But he mentioned something about Crocs.
Crocs, right.
And I'm like, wait a minute, aren't those
Yeah, they have crocodiles.
Different?
I think he was, years later, I think he was pulling our leg. But for many years, we thought that we had an Australian guy down there. And maybe because of Ramtha, I thought, because a lot of Australian people were suddenly in Yelm.
Yeah, because, okay, there. So you guys.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Probably actually. Might have heard of Ramtha. She or he. It,
he, they.
It, yes, they. They were supposed to be. What is it? Was it
5,000 year
from
old
from Atlantis?
Atlantean
yes.
warrior priest or something.
Yeah,
we have friends that could actually tell you about this, but we only peripheral.
And I remember when I moved out to Yelm in 1980.
Right.
That I don't think Ramtha was. Was
no,
happening?
No. Or if it was low key. I didn't hear about it until high school for sure.
But yeah, towards the end of the 80s, it started to become really big.
Yeah.
And that's when, yeah, because when I moved out to Yum, it was like really conservative, mm-hmm. you know, very white, but, you know, like
right.
blue collar.
Super, yeah.
But when I moved away in the late 80s, yeah, it was like, you know, very, it was almost, I want to, you know, Northern Exposure-esque kind
yeah,
of like.
Yeah, maybe. Probably, yeah, yeah.
You know, these more kind of gentrification.
Right,
of, you know,
some real quirky people.
Yeah,
starting to live there.
Move in there. But yeah, so
eccentric.
That would make sense because, yeah, people would come from all over the world
yeah.
to these things and right. spend an outrageous amount of money.
Yeah. And I know, I had definitely heard Australian accents.
Yes.
Real ones in Yelm. So I guess, you know, we would think that
could have been
alligator, crocodile.
Yeah, Dendon McCrox.
No, I don't know. So, like so, hey, alligator Bob, if you're out there.
But I remember though, we ended up walking down to the Chevette.
Yeah.
And we turned around, but then we went down because there was the road below the cliff.
Right.
And I remember we ended up parking down there and
underneath.
Sat out, we were smoking out and. Still conversing with these people.
Yeah,
that
tripped
were,
them out because yeah. they didn't. Our voices were coming from a totally different place. So just.
But I also remember Dan.
Yeah.
Because I remember why we used to go to Dairy Queen.
He loves
sometimes,
Dairy Queen.
But he had one of those little six. Thing
the
of
carrier.
Like a, yeah carrier for like
oh
ice cream
God.
Or something.
Holy shit! I
so he ended
that.
Up. Like, was it like a piece of yarn or something?
Yeah.
They tied it onto it, made a hole for like his nose, and he was wearing it as a mask that night.
Forgot about that.
He was
How
talking
to
alligator Bob.
Why? You couldn't even really see him. Why was he doing that? Oh my God.
I don't think it, yeah, I don't think it was the drugs.
It couldn't have been. No. I totally forgot about that. Wow. So that was prom night.
Yeah. So that's how we, because I remember I was getting I superimposed that night onto the night when we went and crashed at our friend Ken's party.
Oh,
after,
right. Yeah.
After what, school?
Yeah. That was like that was close. Yeah. Like some kind of graduation.
Yeah.
Party or...
But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Because there's another
oh,
good story about
oh,
a
man.
Friend of ours. Two, actually. I forgot. Yeah. How could I forget?
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Hey, this podcast could go on forever. We just keep thinking of stuff. But yeah, so going up there and then, oh, on the other side.
I was just going to.
We are. Our minds are aligned. On the other side of the road, the main road from Fossil Rock was.
Another road
and still on Weyerhaeuser land.
Yep.
But that led to what we called the sand pits.
Yes, and that was a really popular place
yeah.
to have like keggers.
Right. That's where the big parties were, which is funny because, you know, I know we went to some of those, but I never felt, oh, and there were some couple of keggers up at Fossil Rock too.
Yeah.
Oh, because... One of those keggers, I remember seeing that fucker Mr. Roller, our teacher,
yes.
who I hated because
he was,
threw me up against a brick wall one time.
Was he the PE?
No, he taught math.
Yes.
I think he taught
right.
something else too, but I had him for math and then I had him for something else later. But he...
Was he the guy that everybody was like, yeah, he used to sell weed or something like
that? Yeah, I think it was coke, though.
Okay.
And because I don't mind... Well, maybe I better not say that part. But I don't want to get sued. I can't prove anything. But I heard some stuff.
I think I heard some stuff, too.
Okay, but let's just say he was at a high school kegger.
Yes.
So
drinking and probably smoking.
Yeah,
and...
so make of that what you will, but we saw him there. But anyway, my point before I got sidetracked was that it was, like you could go to the Fossil Rock side and sort of be alone or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but the party side was always at the sand pits, seemed like.
Yeah, because it was a big open area that for some reason had sand.
Yeah, I don't know
it
what
was
they
there.
Were.
But yeah, like during the day, people would go out there, you know, ride dirt bikes or go out, you know, burning around in their 4x4 truck or something.
I think there was a shooting range there too.
Yeah, probably. It was Yelm.
Right. It's like big open area.
But yeah, at night, it was big and popular.
Big
bonfire. Like a couple hundred kids would show up.
It's kind of like if you've ever seen Dazed and Confused, the party at the Moon Tower.
Exactly. Yeah. Like that.
Fights. Pickup trucks with the speakers put in the back playing Deep Purple or other things that were wildly out of not of the times, you know? Like nothing current, really. No. Maybe Metallica
Zeppelin,
later or
you
something.
Know?
Yeah, it was all Zeppelin and Purple and Back in Black, you know, which is great. So that was like, that was the culture of that time and that era. So I guess 86, 87 for us when we first started going up there. But the partying up there apparently went way back because Fred knew about it, turns out.
Yeah.
Because Dan was like, why didn't you ever?
I think my sister, who's all of 4 years older than me.
Yeah.
I'd actually been given to, you know, like keggers there too.
Right.
So yeah, probably all the way until like this, maybe the 60s,
probably,
70s.
Yeah. Because I know there were a few places out there. One was, they just reopened it, that Deschutes Park on the Deschutes River, which was where the road, instead of turning either to go to Fossil Rock or the Sand Pits, that road that kept going.
Yeah.
There was a park out there, and Fred used to talk about it, and it was just another legend to me, but they reopened it a couple years ago. Oh man, if you guys haven't been there, you should go check it out. Deschutes Falls. So huge, crazy, big waterfall. Like we find those little waterfalls out at Fossil Rock.
Yeah.
This is like the real deal. Wow. It's beautiful and amazing. Anyway, actually don't go there. It's pristine. It's nice. Nobody's ever there. But yeah, that was out there. That was something that was talked about. But by the time we were heading up there, that was shut down.
Shut off, yeah. And you could go two ways.
Well, you could go. One time Dan and I decided to go down that road and see where it went. And at the time, it just got more
overgrown.
Yeah, there just trees were starting to overhang the roads, and the road was getting really shitty. And then, like way out there, finally there's like a sign that says no trespassing, and it looks like the kind of sign owned by people with guns and mean dogs and shit. So we're like getting a little scared. So we finally stopped and just turned around. It didn't seem like it was going anywhere, and it was spooky. It could be a little spooky out there sometimes. Oh, another thing was when we'd go out there at night, we never took a flashlight or anything.
No.
How the hell did we not get lost and die in the wilderness?
I know. You were lucky. If it was cloudless night,
you could
like a full moon, you could
your eyes would
see
adjust.
Okay. But yeah, I remember I went up there a couple of times at night by myself.
Wow.
To just sit on the ledge and smoke out and listen to music. And I would, after a while, I'd be like, I have to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's somebody. You know, Jason is out there.
Yeah. It could be spooky. I know we heard, there's like some weird screams out there and stuff. I'm not saying it was Bigfoot, but it kind of sounded like some of those things.
Yelm is kind of known for some weird.
There's definitely some weird stuff. We should probably talk about some of that,
like
someday.
Todd's woods that he used to live by.
Yeah, yeah. That one night at his house where he was climbing when he forgot his key. Anyway, we also found those dead chickens and feathers and bones and shit in that clearing and like the pentagrams drawn on the rocks and all that, which probably just David Hansen or some of those guys, Clint Caulfield and those guys. But at the time, when you come across something like that and you're out in the middle of nowhere, it's kind of disturbing.
You kind of want to just turn right around
right,
go someplace else.
I mean, there's a bunch of stuff, but yeah, we really bonded it's weird. And part of the reason I wanted to bring this up as part of our story is because I went from basically not really having any friends not close friends. When I was in school, there were acquaintances and stuff. But out of school, I just went home, did my thing, you know. But so I went from that to all of a sudden, like, there's Dan, and then all of a sudden now there's you, and then Fred, and then sometimes Shane, or maybe one other person.
Yeah, because I have a picture of you, me, and Shane up at Fossil Rock.
Oh, right. Standing by your old Mustang.
Yeah, that shitty fucking Mustang.
Sorry. Right, yeah. So, this once in a while there'd be like a satellite friend around, you know.
Ron,
right, exactly. Yeah, Ron went up with us a few times. Or Todd, or, you know. Remember that time we were all at the top and we
see some hands.
Yeah. The other side of Fossil Rock was sheer cliff, and people actually did rock climb.
Very popular for that.
Yeah. And so, but those people were sane and used like rock climbing gear.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were at the very top of this thing one time, and all of a sudden
we see some hands.
Some hands come over the edge. And then this hair.
Yeah.
Because if you knew him back then, he had this, I don't know what you call that.
Flock of seagulls.
Yeah. Weird flock of seagulls, but black.
Yeah.
This kind of comes over the edge, and then some eyes, and
we're like, holy shit, it's Todd.
It's Todd. We're like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I climbed up the wall. But nothing. Just like his fingers and his fucking chucks, probably, or whatever he was wearing.
Panting.
Yeah, sweating like a dog. But man, so yeah, just weird shit like that would always happen up there. Or it was also the most peaceful, beautiful spot on earth, and we would just sit up there and, you know, groove with nature.
Nice.
Because it really was, it was amazing up there. I don't want to spend all our time talking about Fossil Rock, but there was at least one more thing. So beyond that area was the big cliff. For a long time, we didn't know. Somebody kept saying that, like, maybe there was a road that went behind it and you could drive up there. But then because we always were hiking around out there and there was tons of trails.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, I think you guys, or maybe just Dan and Fred, or it wasn't me. Some people besides me found the trail that went to the top, but it was precarious as hell. And I'm afraid of heights, which is crazy because I was climbing all over that shit. But for some reason, this one.
Oh, yeah, because I remember part of it, there was like a crack in it.
Yeah, like a crevice in the wall.
Yeah,
of the
it was
rock.
Maybe like 2 feet wide or something. You had to kind of like
a little chimney or something.
Climb up with like a foot on each side.
Like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And And right before that was just this like a slight ledge.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other, even on the way up, I fell off the trail on the way up. But there were like little trees growing out the side of the thing. And I grabbed a tree. I think it was Fred. And then because it was, you could only walk single file on that part of the trail. I think it was Fred and then you and then me. And I fell and I was like hanging by this tree. And then Dan comes up and he's like, what are you doing? I fell, man. Hell, you know. And so he helped me up. But anyway, then we got to that plateau. And I just, because at that point, on the edge of that little crevice thing was just nothing. Mm-hmm. And you look down, I don't know how many hundreds of feet it was to the bottom, but we were way up there. And I just couldn't do it. And you guys went on, and I totally chickened out. Even though it was so close, it was only another like, 12 feet maybe or something. I just couldn't do it. And you guys got up there, and then I was just kind of sitting there. And then after a few minutes, I heard this thump. And I was like, what the fuck? And then thump again. And I saw this big meaty rock like hit the ground next to me. And then thump, thump. And there's all these rocks. You guys were fucking chucking rocks down on me.
I don't think I was.
It was probably Fred.
I think he was trying to get you up there.
That didn't work. Like,
I swear, because I swear I remember thinking, I'm like, I don't think that's going to get him.
It made me want to go the other way.
Hurt him.
But yeah, so I never
I remember climbing it. Yeah, never a couple of times it. Doing it. I'm just like, why the fuck am I doing this? This is, you know, because I also have, you know, get me above three stories. And I'm just kind of like,
Yeah, some of the things we were climbing on boggle my mind because I don't, some of it, for some reason, I didn't care. I was just climbing on crazy shit. But
didn't Dan one time like come across like an eagle's nest or something?
Yes. And that one I did climb on. Were you there for that one?
I don't think so.
Yeah, they told me. It was Dan and Fred told me they had been out there and found an eagle's nest and it had baby eagles in it. And they're like, let's go check it out. So I was like, all right, man, this sounds cool. Never seen a baby eagle. So yeah, it was another, I think it was part of that wall. It was the same wall, but lower down. And it was the same kind of like crack in the rock that you'd climb up. And then there was a ledge. And then on that ledge, there was a nest. Mm-hmm. And I could see the nest from the ground, but I couldn't see what was in it, but you could hear something was in it. And so, yeah, we climbed up and, you're just like fingertips and toes, you know, in your shoes, just hanging, just clinging to the wall. But we made it up there. And then, sure enough, man, baby eagles, it was cool. I've never seen that before. And, it was like two or three. And so we're just sitting on the ledge and then and looking at these birds. And then after a while, Fred was like, oh, shit. He's pointing and in the sky, not that far away, is like the silhouette of this big
large bird.
Yeah. Like, oh, time to go. Shit. So so Dan went first and he went backwards like so climbing up, you're climbing with your belly to the rock, right? Mm-hmm. Which is how I plan to go down. But Dan went down with his back to the rock, and he did it really fast. And I was like, whoa, but no way was I doing that. So I, you know, turned around, carefully lowered myself over the ledge, and I was inching my way down. I was really thought I was going to fall. It was pretty high. So I'm about halfway there and I'm hanging just by my fingertips on the wall. And then again, Fred goes, oh shit. Cause Fred, you know, he's above me. He hasn't come down yet. And I look up and another rock, like a good, like a, not basketball size, but softball size, is coming right at me. And it kind of went into the wall of rock like right above my head and kind of bounced off and hit me in the chest really hard. And I just like glued my fingers. I guess my only option was to fall and die, so I just had to like take the brunt. It hit me right in the chest. And then, you know, and Fred's like, oh, you're right. I'm like, give me a minute, and then he started climbing down. I don't know how long it took me to get down, but the eagle didn't get us. And yeah, it was
so
good.
You did go where eagles dare.
That's right. I never thought of that. But yeah, I mean, that's just a tiny, tiny pittance of the fossil rock stuff. But
yes. So yeah.
Okay, this is the part where we should probably put a song.
Yes, but what
song? I don't know. We'll talk about that off the air.
Bill.
Kangaroo, it's all they gotta cost.
You know, I swear, doesn't Sean say, doesn't really matter anyway?
Yeah.
So I can't really hear him at the end.
He's, yeah, he's a little buried, but, you know, he probably preferred it that way.
Yeah.
And yet, it was his idea to say it. Not like we had a script or anything. Yeah, that was a fun recording.
Yeah, that was supposed to be... So us, Tall Toad.
Yes.
And two other bands. We're going to do a split single.
Single somehow, I guess. Yeah. I don't know how that works exactly.
On our friend John Luddington's record label.
Mm-hmm.
We called it Where the Hell is Yelm, but I think he actually wanted to call it It Came from Yelm.
I think, yeah.
But for some reason, we got mixed up.
So we recorded the wrong song.
So it's supposed to be us doing two songs.
Yeah.
And then Velvet Rain doing a song.
Mm-hmm.
And then Diplomatic Immunity
doing
another song. And then at the end, we were going to do a group jam.
Yeah.
And that's what that was.
That's how it turned out. And so basically, Tall Toad basically wrote the song, but everybody, all the voices on there, I don't remember. I guess that's Tony playing drums. Maybe it was Todd. I don't remember.
I think it was Todd.
Okay.
Well,
but it's me and you.
I don't know. Maybe it was Tony.
Or is there even bass on that? Or is it just guitar?
I think it's just guitar and drums.
So that's my shitty guitar and I guess Todd. Yeah, I think it was Todd. But all the voices. And then that was the first time you and Tony stepped up to the mic.
Yeah, I didn't really know about when you get louder that you should be, move your head back a little bit.
Well, Zach should have told us that, to be fair, but...
And Zach was there on the
record. Zach was there. That was recorded at Electric Eel Studios in Georgetown, Washington. Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah, that was our first recording studio, and that's where we met Zach from the Purdens.
Yes, the great bass player.
Yeah.
Amazing band.
Definitely going to talk about those guys. But he owned the studio and engineered.
Yeah.
I don't know how much actual producing he did, maybe for other bands. For us, with the money we were giving him, he basically just laid it on tape.
Yeah.
And then had us go to AMPM and buy him beer.
Yeah, I swear that... One time I was talking to Dave Nothing from Bone Cellar, who used to record there too.
Yeah.
I swear he said that at one point Zach fell asleep or they were mixing or recording or something. So they were stacking pennies on his forehead or something.
Well, he lived there. Yeah. He also lived there because I remember that place was weird, man. I know this isn't what we intended to talk about, but I guess that's what we're talking about. I remember our first, this is the Tall Toad years. This is a year into us being a band.
About a year and a half.
More, right, because we played those shows before we recorded.
Yeah, I think we recorded in 91.
Okay.
And we formed in 89.
Right, so we were veterans.
That's right.
But we hadn't recorded, and... I remember going there the first time. We found it in the Rocket,
I think,
and it was cheap, and we liked this name.
Yeah.
That's all we needed. So I think maybe Tony called.
Probably. And
got a good vibe from Zach or whatever.
Mm.
Anyway, I remember we went up there, and it was in Georgetown, which I was unfamiliar with. And so it's kind of industrial area.
Yeah, and it was at the time.
Yeah.
At the time, it was also a place where if you go to bring an amp up, if there's nobody down there, it's like you lock that shit up.
Yes, definitely. And I remember driving by the building that it was in several times because
where is it?
There's no sign.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there was a number. It looked abandoned. I think downstairs was abandoned.
Probably.
And we just drove around and we're like, what the fuck? Where is this place? And then finally we're like, it's got to be this thing, door. Yeah. It's in that door, maybe. So, and then once you discover that, the door goes up these stairs. So you have to lug all your equipment up these stairs and stuff. But
yeah, up 3/4 of a flight of stairs, and then it turns right, and there's like six steps, and then there's a door.
Yeah, another door, and then that's Zach's studio, but he also lived there.
Yeah.
And it was just full of weird-ass shit. Zach was a weird dude.
And we loved him, though. Found all sorts of like weird, you know, mannequins missing, you know, like arms.
Yeah, it was like a weird, like one of those weird museum, bizarro museums, you know.
But he had all these crazy
shrunken heads and
instruments.
Shit. Yeah,
he had a weird small piano,
which we used.
Yeah, used that.
He had those cardboard cutouts of some muscly rocker dude and wearing a towel.
I forgot about that.
So he'd be recording, and there's like this beefcake dude like staring at you in a towel. Anyway, it was great, but that recording session was actually, so our friend John, I'm all over the place now. Our friend John, also from Yelm, got out. I think he was in the Navy.
Yeah, because Tony
was in the Air Force.
And they used to do
the John and Tony show.
Yeah, maybe, you know, we'll get Tony to do some field research.
That's a good idea. But yeah, they used to do this thing at high school. John and Tony were tight. Yeah, it's weird they both went in the military after that. Yeah. Neither of them, to me, seemed like military types. And then
I know
both
that
went in the military.
That Tony told me that the whole reason why he joined the Air Force is because he wanted to be an astronaut.
Right, yeah.
And then he realized after he did that, man, it was a lot of fucking work.
Yeah. And so I don't know John's motivation, but John was always kind of punk rock. Not always, but later at the end of high school and stuff. Anyway, he got out and he ended up in Seattle, and he was already sort of entrenched in the Seattle scene, and he was in bands, and he was a drummer as well. And
Slappy White.
And Slappy White.
Great band.
Yeah, so he knew people.
Big
and
Chicken
stuff.
Dinner.
Big Chicken Dinner.
Playing bass.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He played bass first, or attempted to. I don't really know that story. We'll have John in here sometime.
Yes.
But at this point, it was booming time for like singles and stuff. Because once the Seattle music thing started happening, all of a sudden like records were a big deal again. Like all these punk bands and indie bands were putting out singles. It was like cool to have a record.
Yeah.
And so John had the idea. He wanted to do this. It's a weird idea, but he wanted to do an all Yelm. Yeah. Split single thing.
Yeah.
And so that was the idea. But so this recording, was actually the second attempt. Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
We tried to do it on our own in Todd's room with
some guy
and friends of theirs.
I think so.
Because Joel was gone because they did the song with Chris.
Yeah.
So not friends. I guess they were just friends with him. Somehow he was associated with those guys. But
Puppet master. Yeah. Not actually there.
No. But he said he assured us we could do it. So three of us, three Velvet Rains, five guys in Diplo.
Yeah.
I can't do math. That's 11. So that's 11 people just in bands. And then all the hangers on. Yeah. Like I'm sure some of the Diplo guys brought their girlfriends.
Cecilia.
Cecilia's probably there. If Tony had a girlfriend, she was probably there.
Yeah, maybe, some of Natalie's friends.
Natalie,
because of Sean.
Right, or Carissa might have even been there when she was a little kid. I don't know. Just the house packed full of...
And then the two engineers. You can't see them doing air quotes.
Big time. Who assured us that they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
So they had some kind of a board... And some kind of recording
set up.
Oh, my God. It was a disaster. Like Nothing went right.
Yeah. The main guy did not know what
he
the fuck
know
he was doing.
Anything. And we're all there. Of course, we're all on various substances. And as the day goes on, more.
Yeah. Then we start arguing.
Yeah. And then it's getting ugly. And I'm pretty sure Todd threatened that guy at one point with bodily harm.
And, which he could do.
Yes. He could.
Little did anybody know that he was a black belt.
Yeah. And he could get scary.
Yes.
When he really lost it. But yeah, it was just, I just remember a sweat and like exasperation and intoxication and anger. And the more the day went on, the longer it went, the worse everybody got.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was horrible. So that didn't work out.
I think I remember I yelled at some point.
Oh, yeah, you did. I don't remember who, but maybe everybody.
So I think it was mainly at that guy.
At the guy, I think we might have all yelled at that guy at some point because we're just, you fucking idiot. You have no clue what you're doing. So that didn't work. But so the going up to the Electric Eel was plan B.
Yes. And that worked.
And that worked. And it was actually really fun. So for some reason, again, we all did it on the same day, though.
Yes.
Instead of like booking separate recording sessions, we're like, let's all go up there and record this all in one day. So again, 11 of us plus whoever.
Yeah, I remember there, you know, quite often there'd be a band recording and like some of the people would be hanging out up there or they'd be down in the van down on the street. Mm-hmm. You know,
yep.
Because it was summer, I remember it was really hot.
Yeah, again, sweating. And but Zach seemed to love it. I think he really loved it. And
well, I think didn't he end up like recording both of those bands too? Or
he
something?
Did. Yeah, both those guys went back to Electric Eel.
So he was like, ka-ching.
Yeah. He's like, even though this sucks, I'll be nice.
Yes, and I got free beer.
They'll come back. That's right. We went and bought him beer. I think I blacked out that night. I'm pretty sure.
Because probably most likely we hung out afterwards too.
Yeah, I do. I remember that was the first night I drank coffee like willingly because we ended up back at Sean's. And it was super late and I was wasted and he was making coffee.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I had to drive or I thought I was going to drive or just wanted to wake up or whatever, but he started
probably
giving me black coffee.
We probably all met at his house,
right?
And then parked and then took the van.
So it's probably like, there. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, but yes, but that recording session was awesome and all the songs turned out really good.
Yeah.
And I think sound wise, because I listened to that a few days ago, sound wise,
I think that version of Gingerbread Man on there sounds better than the other one that we did.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. It's like sounds fat and full. And,
yeah. I can hear your voice. Because I remember on the other one, I'm like, I can't hear Scott's voice very well.
Yeah. So Zach did a really good job on that one, actually, considering the chaos that was going on.
I know, doing five songs.
With three different bands
in one day.
In one day.
That's how Tall Toad works.
And we just improvised basically more or less that song you just heard. So
The
other songs are like real songs, but that's how the record was supposed to end. And so everybody in every band is in there with us singing. And even Zach left the booth to come in and sing on it. And you and Tony did those vocals. It's awesome. I like Tony's pause for the $2.
Yeah.
Anyway, but here's the end of that story is John never put the record
no,
in.
No, I think he ran out of money.
So like everything we ever did, it looked good on paper and then just crumbled to dust and blew away.
And then he went, oh, I can't afford to get another piece of paper.
So we were fucked. but you got to just hear that song. You'll probably hear the other two songs at some point as well, because I think they turned out really good. So that's that story. That's not at all where we intended to go. So
well, we wanted to, well, you know, we're an hour into it.
We could jump in and see.
Yeah, okay. So the next topic that we wanted to talk about was the construction work that we did.
Yes. My memory, I don't know if we sync up because there's like three things that come to mind. And one is that it either started with Maybe I should just ask you what you think of Starbucks. So there's a hole in the ground, and there's a hole in the wall.
In the sky.
And there's a hole in the sky. Take me to heaven. But I don't remember which came first.
Well, okay, so some context here, though. So it was in our practice shed.
Mm-hmm. The dead zone.
Yes. And there was, okay, the main place where we hang out and practice, but then depending, I guess, on which direction you're facing.
Right.
Like if I was facing towards the house, I think that's usually where I stood when we played.
Yeah.
To my right, there was another like alcove.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't there like, wasn't that where like, where their goat O'Malley
Yeah,
lived?
It was like the goat manger originally.
Yeah.
And then they took out the railing or whatever.
Yeah, because I remember there's an interesting story with Ron one night. But we won't get into that right now.
But it will show up eventually.
But I don't remember which came first. The hole in the wall
or the hole in the ground. I don't even know if it matters, but I know at some point, I'll start with the well, they're both intertwined. I know that at one point we went over to Dan's, I guess for practice or whatever. Maybe we were just hanging out, probably practice, and could hear a chainsaw.
Oh yeah.
And so we went in to, or we went back around their house to the woodshed, and he was in there and he was chainsawing that part out of the wall, which was weird because that's not what you use a chainsaw for. he was like leather facing the wall, right, basically, or part of it in that alcove, because he ended up putting a window.
Because there was no window before.
Yeah, it was just a wall there, and he,
because the window was going to serve a purpose.
That's right. So maybe that was the second. Maybe that came later. But I do. That's one thing I remember. But the other thing was, I can't. It seemed like they were always in the middle of all
doing
this,
something.
Yeah, this crazy shit when we'd show up. So I remember showing up at Dan's, going around the back, and they're behind the dead zone digging a hole. And
Was it behind it or because
on
it
the
was
side?
Because eventually we had a trap door.
Right, but it started on the back. Because I remember this part.
Okay.
You will too, as soon as I remind you of this. Because they were digging, and I don't remember the original purpose of the hole. So I've always joked to people, be like, when we were bored in Yelm, we just go dig a hole.
Well, I immediately think of the Seinfeld, where Jerry doesn't buy the van or whatever. So the guy goes out and he's digging a hole.
Right.
Maybe that's why.
It might have been. I could see Fred doing that. And I think it was Fred that started. Anyway, they were digging a hole, and the hole was getting deeper. See, this is the faulty memories, because all this stuff is combined, but I don't remember the logical order of things, so it sounds even more insane. But it was digging a hole, and the hole started going deeper and started going under the back.
Right.
And so you'll remember, this will jog your memory, because once it got too deep, you could only fit one person in the hole, and we started sending like spelunkers.
Oh, right.
We started sending people into the hole with a bucket.
Yeah, you dig for a little bit. You hand the bucket to the next person who had handed up to somebody
up there. Out, and they were dumping the
like
dirt.
In a driveway or
something. And then they'd take their tractor and spread it because they were paranoid that their neighbors would be like, why are there piles of dirt? So we were totally spelunking. We were digging, and it just ended up turning into this big,
I want to say it was originally to be like a storage space for our gear or something like that.
That's interesting. I could
I
see us
why,
thinking that.
That
yeah
but then
well
it turned into something else.
Right, and this I do remember, because we showed up at dance. I know this all the story started again. But they weren't there. And we went into the dead zone, and we were just waiting there, and we figured they're somewhere and they'll show up pretty soon. And I remember hearing the Chevette tearing in up the gravel and it stop and the door slam. And then Fred and Dan come busting in and they're like, oh, you got to help us get the plants out of our car.
We're like, what?
Yeah. For your gardeners all of a sudden. Yeah. So we went out back and in the hatchback with the big window.
Yeah.
It's full of pot plants. Like the whole back of the car full of pot plants, like babies and starts and stuff. So telling this story terribly, but basically what we did was, so Dan and Fred knew some people who were growing pot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who. I probably shouldn't either. Say, even if I did. But they called, I guess they called them and were like, hey, our neighbors turned us in. We got to get rid of these plants.
Oh, yes.
And so
right.
Dan and Fred just tore out of there.
Like, okay.
Yeah. And filled up his car. The hatchback with the big window, as I said, which is hilarious to me.
Yep.
And brought all those plants home. And so they were going to figure out how to grow these pot mm-hmm. plants. But then that combined with all this other
activity,
the digging of holes and chainsawing of walls and stuff, turned into us. Basically, we dug that hole so big that it was as big as
the
woodshed.
The walls of our digging hole basically stopped just short of the outside foundation of the shed.
Right. And then we propped up, we had some like support beams that we ended up putting
in there.
And that's
where we put the little separation of the grow station. And
we got super,
it was crazy. It's
clever.
Like, yeah, we got grow lights.
We did. Yeah, we bought a big halide light with a, what do you call it? The metal.
The hood.
Yeah, the hood. And on, so you mentioned the trap door. So in that alcove that Mike was talking about, where Dan had put a window, but then we covered the door, so that's weird. But I guess the paranoia again was setting in. But we cut a square out of the floor, and had a trap door.
Ladder.
And put a ladder.
Yeah.
So you could go down the trap door, down the ladder, into this big hole, this big cave that we hand dug.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere they acquired brick, and they put brick on the ground. So the ground was like nicely, it wasn't dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then we built those side shelves.
Yeah,
and had
what, like pallets or something to put the plants on?
Yes.
And those
were the starts.
Yeah, we had the room separated.
Mm-hmm. The adult
female
plants.
And the male plants.
Right.
And Fred somehow figured out how to make them short, but yet
but
very
bulky,
hardy.
Yeah. And they had, at some point, he installed a heat timer.
Right. Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah, a little watering system.
Yeah.
Too.
It was a total setup.
It's Fred, man, he really missed his calling.
We
all took care of these plants.
We did, but Fred took a special.
He did.
Well, Fred, Fred was older than us, we've mentioned. He was not good at holding down a job.
No.
So he was living with Dan and his parents, and he'd have a job once in a while for about a week or whatever, and then he'd be like, they're fucking with me.
Fuck this.
So mostly what he was doing was hanging around and having time to think about how to get this grow room like professional almost on our no budget. And
now I want to preface this with the fact that we had no interest in selling any of this weed. This was all for our personal consumption.
Never even occurred to us.
No,
we were like, that's a shitload of weed, we'll never have to buy weed.
Yeah, because I think when we did our first harvest, we ended up having a big Ziploc freezer bag full of just the bud.
Yeah, it was beautiful, man. Oh, God. And then all the leaf, we kept all the leaf too, and we had this straining system.
Oh yeah, because we're trying to make oil or
something. So we'd break up the leaf into as powdery as we could get it, and then Fred had that isomerizer or whatever.
Yeah, some weird
70s Cheech and Chong thing. And yeah, we tried to make hash oil, and it made some kind of oil, and we'd put it, we'd like line joint papers with it. Yeah. It was just a gross, sticky mess, but I don't know. But it,
yeah, it's...
so the we had this, and then we had the, oh, over the trap door, we cut a piece of plywood that exactly fit into that alcove. So between, okay, we had the door, and then we had some tar paper to cover the cut,
right,
so you couldn't
yeah.
see the cut in the floor. And then we put that precisely cut piece of plywood over that. So no,
that
and then
pretty impressive.
Occasionally people would come over and we'd be sitting there, and I think all of the four of us would always have this kind of smug stone.
Yeah, like, you don't know what you're standing on.
Like people come over and be like, looking for some weed, and you're like,
I don't know, man.
I don't know, man. It was amazing, just like out of nowhere, and it really worked.
It did. In fact, it ties into our earlier story. Because I remember we went to a sandpit party with our, with some, not all of it, because we didn't want to, you know, people go, what the?
Right.
What?
Didn't want to have to explain ourselves.
Yeah, so we brought, a bunch of weed for us that we were going to, you know,
we're sharing.
Share.
Yeah.
And yeah, we brought our homemade bong.
Yeah.
I guess you can call it a bong.
I don't know. It was a it was literally a pipe.
Yeah, PVC pipe.
And Fred had carved a dragon into it.
Yes.
A really nice. This is the other thing Fred was good at. Making things to smoke out of. So yeah, he had that beautiful dragon on it, but it was homemade. But and it wasn't, I mean, it was kind of formidable looking, but it wasn't like giant size or anything.
Yeah.
But man, whatever the magic about that thing was, it packed a wallop.
Yeah, we called it Dragon.
Yes, because we were clever.
And it had, I think, didn't he take? It was like a, it's like from a light or something like that. The little, I don't know what they call it, that goes from the base of the bulb.
Oh, the part. Stem part.
Yeah, that kind of goes into like, it's like a fancy light thing.
It was. I don't know the name of it either.
But yeah, so he used that as like the chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember he stuck a big bell bowl.
Yeah.
Which you could easily put like, you know, half a gram in or something like that.
Yeah, it was huge.
And it had a little catcher on it.
Mm-hmm.
But
it was very cool.
That's what we would use to, one of our,
the main, that was our favorite one.
Yeah, because man, it packed a wallop.
Yeah, knock you silly.
So we brought that to this party also, and I remember we pulled it out, and some other guy, we were discussing this earlier.
Can't think of his name. Yeah. Sorry, dude. He was a year or two older than us, though. I know that.
Yeah, and I remember he looked over. He's like, man, what the fuck is that? And
yeah.
So we told him, like, you know, it's pretty heavy. And he's like, oh, you know, I've smoked out of everything. Fuck, I can handle it.
Totally cheeched us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're like, you think? I almost had his name.
Gillenwater.
Gillenwater. Yes.
James Gillenwater.
James Gillenwater. Yeah. Okay.
There we go, James.
There we go. Now you're famous.
But yeah, so we're like, okay, so we packed it and handed it to him and showed him the trick to using it, which wasn't really, you put your hand over the bottom and
just got to make sure you're covered.
And then you like
the
go in and you suck as hard as you can. And so he did it.
He did it.
And he proceeded to like cough for about 5 minutes.
Nonstop.
Yeah. And I swear, didn't he like, hey, dude, you need to come over here.
Yeah. It is amazing.
So we had a grow room.
We did. We had our own grow room. And for a long time, Dan's parents didn't know what was going on.
Because I swear, didn't we also stick like the dark trash bag around the edge so you couldn't see any light underneath?
Oh, right. Underneath the shed. Yeah, because it didn't have a foundation. It was just sitting on the ground. Yeah, we did. We covered it. And they were also, again, paranoid about their neighbors and shit. So I still can't believe we did that.
Yeah.
So. Even telling the story doesn't do this thing justice.
No.
You had to see it. And the fact that we dug a room size thing by hand. Man, it was worth it. And it was good weed too.
Very good.
But to bring it all around, other than the sand pits one, when we did have a harvest, our thing was to go up to Fossil Rock and enjoy our bounty.
Have a party of four or five people. Yeah,
maybe Ron or Shane or Tom Terry. Sometimes he'd show up. But so see how we made that work?
Yeah.
Connects. But and I remember one, maybe the might have been the last harvest we had. It was raining. It was actually a storm, and we went up there anyway. And I remember going into the first turnoff, not all the way up to the ledge, but that first turnoff where there was just trails.
Yeah.
And I remember going on those trails to those caves. And we hiked in there and just sat in those caves and built a fire, and you could see the rain and storm and watch the trees whipping around. And we just sat there and smoked our homegrown weed and
had a good time.
Plotted, you know, further band stuff. And Fred probably made us laugh our asses off.
Oh, yeah.
Booger. Telling crazy stories. So it was all, man, there was good times, and it felt good to be like, I know all those things are kind of silly and seem frivolous, but at the same time, it was all building. It was just building on what we were and what we were going to be. And, you know, talking about music is just music constantly. And, going up to Fossil Rock and dreaming our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
With the Eagles and the bats and
not the band the Eagles.
Not the band the Eagles. No way. If I saw Don Henley up at Fossil Rock, I'd push him off. Not Joe Walsh, though.
No.
He's cool. No, I probably shouldn't say that. I would just politely ask him to leave.
Yeah. Can you please get the fuck out?
No, that's not true either. I would offer Don Henley a beer and then a hit off a dragon and laugh when we watch him cough.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, we've probably nailed that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We did, actually. We're at an hour and 18 minutes.
All right. Under an hour and a half because you demanded it. Nobody has really demanded anything yet, but anyway, so we're edging ever closer to the Tall Toad years, and I know this is a lot of buildup, and believe me, you're going to be...
It's going to be climactic.
There you go. You heard it here. There's not much more probably band Trepan years stuff to talk about before we do get into the
Tall
Toad stuff.
Yeah, it's like
stuff,
a lot of small... stuff like small stories.
Yeah.
I know I did want to, even though you can't remember this, touch on the movie, The Wind Gods.
Oh, yeah. No, we definitely need to talk about Wind Gods.
Because that was a brilliant
idea. I remember a little bit.
And it involved a bit part by our friend, the late Vince Marzano.
Vince, that's true. I think. Didn't Ron have something to do with
probably Ron too, so. Always had something to do.
But yeah, I know definitely Vince was in there. Rest in peace.
Yes.
Dude. Yeah, so there are some more band things. I know we wanted to talk about at least one other. Actually, it was a very just tease it now, I guess. A very eye-opening experience. the first time we did something, I'll just say that, and where we acquired the something that we did, because that's a funny story too.
Yes.
But, that definitely changed our perceptions, in the future.
Opened some doors.
You could say that. Yeah. So some of that, is still to come. And then, yeah, we'll see. We'll see where it goes. We really appreciate you guys listening. I've been I haven't heard personally from people too much, but you know, I check the stats and whatever. I can see people are listening. So I know you're out there, and thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you.
Thank you.
One and all.
So enjoy this outro music.
Yes. And we'll see you later.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.